The opinions expressed on this edition of Pensacola Expert Panel with Ruthie C. are not necessarily those of News Radio 92.3 AM 1620, but rather the opinions of the sponsor, Continental Public Adjusters, with host Mike Rump.
Panel. My name is Ruthie C. I'm so excited to have you with me on this beautiful Monday morning, and I am joined this morning by Mr. Mike Rump of Continental Public Adjusters. Good morning, Mike. Happy Monday. How are you?
Happy Monday to you, Ruthie. I'm doing really well. Thank you very much. We're just busy as one-armed paper hangers out there trying to help everybody with their claims that we can. And unfortunately, it looks like we got another system out there that may be heading our way. We're in the cone again, and it looks like possibly Thursday that we might be, and I hate to break it, obviously, but that's a there's another one out there, so we got to really make sure that we get everybody's claims, everybody organized. And I thought I would take just a few minutes today to just rehash a few points that we made on the previous programs. As a reminder, we got to document everything with our claims. Obviously, everybody that's listening wants to make sure their claim gets through smoothly with as little hassle and problems as possible. And the best way to make sure that we do that is to make sure you do your due diligence and that you document everything. I mean, even, you know, right now, today, we can take pictures with our phones. We can take pictures with digital cameras, and it doesn't cost us hardly anything. And I'll tell you, years down the road, if your claim goes poorly, there's nothing better than to have a whole bunch of photos to help tell your story and to help document your claim. So very important. Take lots of photos of everything and keep everything organized. And again, you got to make that claim very clear for the adjuster so that they know exactly what you've got, that you give all the information that you have, and you explain why you believe that item or items need to be replaced or why they need to be repaired and how you got your prices. You got to back up everything with documents and estimates and photos and expert reports if needed. You have to do that, and you got to make it very clear. So keep in mind, these adjusters are not working on just your claim. They are working on hundreds and hundreds of claims at once. And just human nature, everybody knows this. It's a lot easier to pick up a claim and work through it and get that report sent to your supervisor. Everything on that report is clear and easy to follow, that's an easy claim to put together. So it's in everybody's interest. Make sure you do that. And with that being said, that rehashes everything that most everything we talked about previously. But I want to take a little more of a serious turn with today's program and warn people about the scammers that are out there. And every storm that I've worked over my 38 years in the business, it's just I always shake my head at the amount of a riffraff that comes out of the woodwork. You know, these guys show up every storm. And, you know, it's just a side word caution, but some of these guys that I say, you know, if they worked half as hard on a legitimate job as they do on trying to scam people, they'd be rich. But you got to watch out for these guys. So just as a summary, there's three entities out there that can legally present a claim to the insurance company, okay? The first one is you as the policyholder. Obviously, you can always present your own claim, and I think there's a lot of people that choose to do that, that put their own claim together, and they can do a very good job as long as you follow the rules that we outlined at the first of the program. You can do that. On simple claims, I think it works just fine. So you absolutely can do that. The other is a licensed public adjuster, and I say licensed because there's a lot of people out there that will claim they're a public adjuster, but they're not. And a licensed public adjuster, most of the time, they'll charge you just a percentage of your claim, and they will document the entire claim for you. They'll put it together the way I always say, or the good ones will put it together the way it needs to be done, so that it works really well for your adjuster, and they'll meet with the adjuster, they'll negotiate a settlement, And keep in mind that a public adjuster or an attorney or anybody that you've hired to handle your claim, they cannot accept or reject any offers without you approving it, or they're not supposed to. So that's the way that you maintain control if you hire somebody, is you have the final say on whether that settlement is acceptable or whether it's not. And then the final person that can handle the claim for you is an attorney. They don't need to have a special license like a public adjuster does, but they also can handle a claim for you. They're a little more expensive, obviously. Some attorneys are charging up to 35-40% to handle the claim. And one thing I get a lot of questions on, there are some attorneys that will advertise that they don't charge a fee, that their fee is paid by the insurance company. And it's real important for your listeners to know that can be true. But typically, what you have to do in order for your attorney fees to be paid is there has to be a breach of contract, and you have to win in a lawsuit in order for the fees to be paid. You have to show that the insurance company underpaid you, and you have to show that you have to win under contract in this lawsuit in order for the attorney to have an argument that their fees should be paid by the insurance company. The insurance company doesn't just automatically pay your attorney's fees. They fight it, and they don't want to pay your attorney fees for obvious reasons. So keep that in mind. Always know that the attorney has to, there has to be a lawsuit filed, and they have to win under contract in order for their fees to be paid. So keep that in mind. But the one reason I mentioned, or one of the big reasons I mentioned about who can handle a claim on your behalf and who cannot, is because there's a lot of guys out there that don't have a public adjuster's license. They're not attorneys. And these guys may or may not be good, but some of these guys will use what's called an assignment of benefits here in Florida. And what that basically is these guys will have you as the policyholder sign a contract where you are literally handing them your claim. So they can then stand in your shoes and handle that claim as if they were you. And in Florida, like I said, if you prevail under contract, meaning you show as part of a lawsuit that you were forced to file that lawsuit in order to get what you were entitled to, then these guys can stand. Then you're able to get your attorney fees paid. And a lot of these guys that use these assignment of benefits will use that same law, and they will go out there and try to get their attorney fees paid. And they use attorneys to help present their claims. And one of the things that really stings when these guys do that is a lot of them, they don't have to tell you that they filed a lawsuit. And this is one of the things in my years traipsing through Tallahassee and working on this legislation, was that these guys would go in there and they go out and file suits on behalf of policyholders, and the policyholders didn't even know it. That is not for obvious reasons. That's something that I don't like to see happen. I don't think it's good public policy. And so I just caution everybody, watch out. If you've got somebody up there that is telling you that they can handle your claim, that they get all the attorney fees paid, and they're not a public adjuster or they're not an attorney, I just really watch your P's and Q's, really watch these guys, and make sure that you know what you're signing and know what you're getting into when you sign up for these assignment of benefits. There are some that are legitimate, but I've found over my years that there's a lot of these guys that the reason why they don't go out and get a public adjuster's license, or the reason why they haven't become an attorney, is because they can't for other reasons. There's a lot of guys that have records that get in and do this, and you just got to really be careful.
Wow, that is a really great tip to be on the lookout for. So if someone is asking you about an assignment of benefits when it comes to your insurance claim, that should at least be a flag to investigate this person a little further to see what their qualifications are.
Exactly right, Ruthie. I mean, we have, and it's, if you think about what that term actually means, you are assigning your benefits from that policy to somebody else. Just that by itself really gets my hackles up. Why would anybody give up any rights that you have? And some people do it. Some of these guys are really, really good salesmen. I mean, and women. I mean, they are, like I said, they work really hard at convincing people that everything's on the up and up and that it's perfectly legitimate and everything else. But I, you know, further word of caution is that a public adjuster has a ethics that they have to live by. That's part of the statute that's under public adjusters. Attorneys obviously have the bar that's overseeing them. You know, they have something to lose if they don't follow ethical guidelines or if they do something that's crooked or what have you. Some of these guys that are using these assignment of benefits, it's like the wild, wild west out there, Ruthie. There are no rules for them, and they can get away with things that a public adjuster or an attorney would not do because they know it's ethically not good. So and so always make sure you hire somebody that's motivated to help you. A public adjuster is getting a percentage of what you recover. So obviously when you hire a public adjuster, you're hiring somebody that wants to make sure they document everything and don't leave any money on the table for you. An attorney is the same way. Most of them are charged, some charge by the hour, but most of them are charging a percentage as well. They're highly motivated to make sure they don't leave any money on the table. And so, you know, just beware and watch what you sign. And if you have questions, you can always call us at our office. It's 850-750-RUMP, R-U-M-P, or 750-7867. And we're always out there. We're ready to answer your questions and help you through that. And we try to be as just honest as we can and let everybody know exactly what they're in for and what to expect in the claims process.
Absolutely. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. My name is Ruthie C. I'm speaking with Mr. Mike Rump of Continental Public Adjusters. And like you said, Mike, we've got this next system out there. It's looking like it's going to shape up into another storm and so into a hurricane. And so, like you said, to begin and just to recap what we've talked about in the past, take pictures, take tons of pictures, get those timestamps, because I imagine if people have already started a claim in regards to Sally, if heaven forbid, but if another storm comes and we have more damage, that's a completely separate claim, correct? Like that's a whole different process, whole different documentation.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right, Ruthie. And, you know, that's something else. Let's hope it doesn't hit us. But I can tell you that one of the real messes, something that can really mess up a claim, is to have another one right behind it. And we remember back in 2004, the 2004 hurricane season, when Florida and this area got hit by four different hurricanes. And there was two that hit almost in the identical space up there in Palm Beach County, up in the north of that as well. And you want to talk about a nightmare trying to figure out, you know, exactly what happened with the first storm and what happened with the second storm. It becomes a real mess. And there was a lot of people that did not know how to document a claim or were right in the middle of documenting their claim. And then here comes the next hurricane. And let's hope that doesn't happen to us here. But if it does, like I said, the best thing to do is make sure you document everything. And one real important thing to know is the insurance company doesn't owe you to pay you twice for the same item just because it was damaged twice. So, for instance, if your roof is destroyed with Sally and you're still litigating or still presenting that claim and you haven't worked out a settlement with the insurance company, and the next hurricane comes, the insurance company is going to be looking at that second claim and try to make it stand alone on its own. So what I mean by that is if the policy is still in effect and the insurance company hasn't canceled your policy or hasn't said this claim is closed and we paid it all out and you're still, and most of us are, most of us still haven't settled our claims, then that second hurricane comes along, you've got a brand new claim to present, and you are under the same burden to prove your claim as you were with Sally. I'm not trying to scare people, but I just, again, it's really important that you lay out exactly what was damaged with Hurricane Sally and you may have the exact same damages occur again. And that happens a lot. You know, the roof, you may have tarped your roof, and this next storm, if it comes along, may just blow the tarp off and may blow some more shingles off. But there's no reason for you, if you have the same damages, to present another claim and another deductible to get paid maybe nothing. So you just keep in mind, know exactly what you've got and really dig in and try to figure out what all of your damages are. And that's something that you kind of relieve yourself somewhat when you bring in professionals to help you put that claim together, and you've got a professional that's highly motivated to make sure that they get all the damages there. You're gonna be able to rest that you've got somebody that's really dug in, you know. And I said this on one of the first program that we did, but a lot of these stormtroopers, these adjusters that come in for the insurance company, they come from other parts of the country. You know, they come from everywhere. Some as far away as Washington State, you know, and California. They come in here, they set up their trailer and what have you. They go into their claims office and they pick up 50 to 100 new claims. And these guys are flying by the seat of their pants, Ruthie. They are going fast as they can go. They're hard workers. They know what they're doing for the most part. But they do not have time, and they're not motivated to sit there and dig through your claim and figure out exactly what everything is. And that's not their role. A lot of people will sit back and let the insurance company put their claim together, and then they don't realize they have a problem until 2-3 months later. Suddenly they get the estimate from the insurance adjuster and it's missing things, or it's not as thorough as they thought it would be. And then all of a sudden now you realize that you have things to do, you have work to do. I would encourage you to start that work ahead of time. Try to get everything done before the adjuster gets there so that you don't have that issue. And then just go through a checklist. You know, if you know what you've presented, you can go right down the line. I do this on every claim I have, even though I've been 38 years I've been doing this, I still do the same thing. I put the claim together, and then when I get that estimate in from the insurance company, I check every single item to make sure that it's in there, that number one, and number two, to make sure that it's priced properly. And so that's all very important stuff. You got to make sure you do it. And each item, you know, I hate to scare people, but I mean, each item, you have several things to negotiate on each item, each part of your claim. You know, there's an argument there about whether or not that item, let's talk about a roof, whether it can be repaired and put back the way it was before the storm, or whether or not you need to completely replace it. So that's the first thing. And then once you do that, then you got to figure out what the price is. You know, you can have 100 people out there to your place. You're going to get 100 different estimates on that roof. So you got to make sure that you get enough to where you have enough to get these repairs done and done properly. And we've mentioned this before, and I hate to rush through all these notes, but it's the insurance company owes you, it's called indemnification. They must bring you back to the place you were 1 minute before that storm destroyed your property. And what that means is, if you had a roof that was 2 weeks old before that hurricane came through, you've got 10 shingles off of there, but now your roofing company isn't going to warranty that roof. Now all of a sudden you've got a situation where that roof may need to be replaced in order to put you back where you were. If you've got a roof that's 15 years old but it was matching and it was shedding water, it was doing what it was supposed to do, and now with your new roof or with the roof after the hurricane, it no longer does that. It no longer matches, or it's no longer shedding water off of your structure. Then they have to pay you either to replace it or to repair it, and put you back the way you were. And in Florida, there is a matching statute, so they have to match. You can't leave a roof up there that looks like a checkerboard. It's got to look the way it did before. And these are all little tricks and things that you need to know when you're presenting your claim, Ruthie.
And I think it's so important to go back to what you said earlier, Mike, about who those three entities are that can present a claim. Just to remind everyone, if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Mike Rump of Continental Public Adjusters, talking about insurance claims following Hurricane Sally. Hopefully, heaven forbid, not another storm coming, but we need to be prepared. And so you yourself as the policyholder is one. A licensed public adjuster like Mike has been doing for over 30 years with his team, or an attorney. And those are really the three main entities, correct, Mike? And there's different probably levels of which one's the appropriate one for you, depending on your claim. But those are the three.
That's exactly right. And there are no exceptions. There are no exceptions. So the only way, again, to remind you, is the only way that somebody else can do that that's not licensed as a public adjuster or as an attorney or is you, the only way they can do that is if they get you to assign your rights under that policy to them. And I've always scratched my head at how that's done and how anybody would agree to do that. Because a lot of times these guys, they take control of your claim. And I'm saying guys and gals, a lot of these guys will take over your claim with an assignment of benefits and then and maybe file suit and you don't even know. And to me, I don't know how that's happened. I don't know how that's possible. But that's one of the things that really gets under my skin about these assignment of benefits is people can come in, take over your claim. And there has been a lot of illegal acts carried out under that assignment of benefits. So be very careful. There are some legitimate ones out there, but really, really watch yourself because of somebody with an assignment of benefits, you basically handed them your claim and you've handed them the right to have that final say in whether or not you accept that settlement or not. And again, you have that final protection with an attorney or a public adjuster, or if you do it yourself, you are always the last one that can approve that settlement. And I just never understood why anybody would give that right up. I think you should keep it and handle that claim and be in control of it. And our clients are in control of their claim. So most attorneys also, they cannot settle without getting that approved by you. So you always have that protection, and I would never give that up.
And if you are listening and interested in getting in touch with Mike to discuss a specific claim or you think you might need some help, highly recommend reaching out to his team. And Mike, the phone number you said is 850-750-RUMP, 7867. And people can also check you out online, correct?
Yes, ma'am. Our website is continentalpublicadjusters.com. And you can go online. You can see our resume, see how long we've been doing it. You can see some of our results. And you obviously our phone numbers are there. You can also, there's a place you can log in there and send your questions to us. We've been getting quite a few of those. And we will always try to answer your questions. I'm always looking to try to help people first. Obviously, some people will decide that they need our help. But we spend a lot of time, Ruthie, just helping people that never hire us because that's why we're in this business. I love to help people. I love to get people through this process, and we're very good at it, Ruthie. We know what we're doing, and we're very – everybody on my staff here, this is the best staff I've ever had in my 38 years. Everybody on my staff knows exactly what they're doing. They know how to get through those questions. And if they don't know, they come see me, and we'll get you answered. We'll get your questions answered. We'll get you on the road to recovery, whether you hire us or not. So we always encourage everybody, give us a call. It's 850-750-RUMP, just like my last name. And it's 850-750-7867, Ruthie.